Welcome back to Friar Talk, everyone. Hope we are having a good morning. I doubt as many people woke up as early this morning. I woke up, I was just kind of laying in bed watching the game, but I'm happy I did. That was an awesome game. And like really just the actual game, not even the fact that like the Potters offense blew up anything like that. The overall game was sweet. I mean, not really back and forth, but the Dodgers kept fighting back. You would have this big lead. Mookie Betts was going crazy. And, you know, it was just consistently a close game until Manny had that kind of just nail in the coffin type of home run. But overall, this was a sweet one. This was, you know, yesterday I came on here and I talked about, hey, the big thing was that the offense wasn't performing. Like, forget about the Cronenworth error. The offense didn't perform. What do they do today? They come out and they put up 15 runs. They had, I'm pulling up the box score right now, 17 hits, 15 runs. You know, you have a bunch of different guys in the lineup just balling out. Cronenworth went 4 for 4. Campusano 3 for 6. Jackson Merrill went 2 for 5, but he was tearing the cover off the baseball. Bogarts had a couple hits. Fernando Tatis had the hardest hit ball of his career. Tyler Wade had a couple of hits. Ha-Seong Kim didn't have a hit. He's the only guy so far to not have a hit for the Padres. Manny Machado, obviously, with the big home run. But, like, just the overall lineup just was awesome. You didn't have a lot of good pitching. I mean, I want to see how many pitchers didn't allow a run today? Everyone allowed a run. Matsui didn't, and Robert Suarez didn't. So, yeah, the pitching was rough. And it was just fun to watch, though. I mean, you gave up 11, but the day before you had a really good pitching performance. You end up losing a close one because you don't have any offense. You have 4 hits. You come out and you do the exact opposite. How often do you see, I don't know if you guys saw this, this is the first time the Dodgers have lost a game where they scored over 10 runs since 1999. So in the first time in my life that they've ever done that, which is pretty cool. Always got to love the obscure baseball stats. I'm a big fan of those. But yeah, I thought this was just a sweet game. I tweeted out on Twitter, or I guess it's X or whatever now, but I basically tweeted out like, the vibes for this one are crazy. When you had the Manny Machado home run and everyone in the dugouts pumped, and then they show Manny like blowing the bubble. It was sweet. I mean, it was just a good game to watch. I was half asleep the whole time, but it was still super fun. I was getting stressed though, man. Like I forgot how nerve-wracking watching baseball is, because all of the pressure situations consistently, it's just over and over where you're just like, all right, well, there's two guys on, you know. You're up by 3, and then they score a couple guys, and you're like, okay, it's 1-run lead. Okay, now it's a 2-run lead when they're consistently fighting back. But it was a fun game, man. I'm pumped the baseball's back. I'm honestly bummed. I mean, we have to wait another week until next Thursday for the true opening day. But it was a good one. A lot of things to unpack. Kind of the things that I'm thinking of right now. Definitely going to talk about Ohtani, Yamamoto on the Dodgers side. Mookie Betts is, you know, he's ridiculous. Max Muncy on the Dodgers side. Padres side, you're going to talk about Jake Cronenworth looking really good, what that can mean for the Padres. Jackson Merrill being looking like he is ready. Obviously, just the overall offense and just kind of like how they're going to go about it. I think one thing that we can talk about that's kind of concerning is like the bullpen and like just the pitching in general, because the bullpens look pretty bad over the last cut, like the two games. But remember, it's two games. But yeah, so I don't know. What are you guys kind of thinking right now of what we should talk about? Maybe we start out with Jackson Merrill. I think that's probably the thing that most people just want to get into, just because Jackson Merrill he's the main talk. I mean, whenever you bring up a top prospect, that's the main thing people are interested in. And rightfully so. You got a new guy in the building. You got a guy that's a top 10 prospect in the MLB. So I found this tweet. Sammy Levitt tweeted out Jackson Merrill's exit velocity so far: 106, 98, 95, 102, 107. Also, the double he had today, that one was a home run in 23 of 30 MLB stadiums. He was tearing the cover off the baseball. So he looked good. You know, we talked so much about this team needs a lefty bat. Yesterday, I mean, a lot of the things I was talking about were they need to go sign a Tommy Pham and Brandon Belt. And I kept bringing up Brandon Belt because it's like they need another lefty bat. You only have Cronenworth and Merrill. Today, two of your best offensive players were Cronenworth and Merrill. I mean, Cronenworth went 4 for 4. If he's able to be a really, really good three hitter, and you're able to have a good lefty bat, especially if he's hitting ninth, maybe he forces his way up in the lineup, but you have him ninth where you can now have like a little bit like your lineup's a little bit more spread out in terms of righty lefty, like matchups where you can have, you know, a lefty hitting third, a lefty hitting ninth, and then like a Profar or Graham Pauly or whoever it is, like in kind of like that 6-7 hole. That helps so much because that's something that the Padres, they just don't have that. They don't have a lot of lefties, not only, I mean, both pitching and hitting. So I think it's really, I think it's really big. I mean, I was super pumped for Jackson Merrill. He looked awesome. He should have probably gone yard, and he's going yard at Petco, I think, on that one. That's kind of like, that's like the sweet spot of where you want to hit it in Petco. But yeah, that was awesome. So I was really pumped about that. I think that is the most encouraging thing from this series would be Jackson Merrill looks like he's ready. And but maybe it was like a week in the spring training, Isaac and I talked about it, and we were like, look, dude, we don't think he's ready. We think he needs more time in the minors. And this, we're talking two games in. I'm not going to get over ahead of myself, but we were concerned. We're like, look, dude, and at that point he was kind of struggling in the minors or in spring training. And it was just like, okay, we don't know if he's ready. And we feel like they're putting him to a spot where it's too much pressure. He won the job. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that we watched him win the job in spring training where he looked ready. He hit a home run off. Oh, I forget who it was. He hit a home run. I think it was a guy in the Diamondbacks. I'm trying to remember who it was. But he hit a home run off an ace pitcher. And it was like, okay, dude, he looks ready. He looks really good hitting it all over the field, you know, tearing the cover off the baseball. The swing looks way better. The ground ball rate's going down. And everything was kind of playing like that. It was Gallen. Yeah, Zach Gallen. That's who it was. And yeah, I mean, and he also hit that one I wonder if I remember right, it was like left center. So he was going a little bit opposite field on that one. And he destroyed that baseball too. So I think that's got to be the most encouraging thing out of these two games, is that it looks like Jackson Merrill is here to play. And like I said, when we're talking about the expectations for him, I don't have super high expectations because he's a rookie. But the thing is, if he hits those expectations, Fangraphs had him at like a 680 OPS. Guys, if he hits a 680 OPS, that is still better than the guy that we had the last four seasons starting in center field. That's better than he has been the last 2 years in Trent Grisham. So the bar is not high, like the what he has to do to replace that. I said, you know, if you can get somewhere between like a set, me and Chase and I were talking about it, like you can get between like a 710 to a 740. That's awesome, because 740 last year was an average OPS in the NL. Chase was talking about like if somehow he could get to like 770, you're thinking this is like a home run player. You know, this is a guy you're building around after that. So it's going to be probably the biggest storyline, especially early on in the year for the Padres, of how good is Jackson Merrill? Like, does he consistently look like he's ready? Because the other thing is, he doesn't look overmatched. He's fouling a lot of pitches off. He's having good at-bats. Yamamoto got him on but he got him on off-speed pitch, and it looked kind of ugly, and I was like, oh. But then he comes back, and he just started balling out for the rest of the game. So it's like you're seeing a lot of encouraging things from him. Now, I'll go flip it to the Dodgers side a little bit. Obviously, we had the Ohtani drama last night, and I'll just say my piece on it. I won't talk a lot about the Dodgers, but I wanted to talk about it because this is crazy. The story is absolutely insane. Now, if we're being realistic, guys, Ohtani probably didn't gamble. Now, there's going to be more to this story. I know the MLB said he didn't. They're not investigating him. They're probably going to investigate him later because there's going to be a whole legal process of this. So it's not over. I know that was like a report this morning. It's not over. We're going to see a lot of stuff. But his translator, talk about fumbling the bag. His translator, it was just insane. So it's going to be one of the craziest stories I feel like we've seen in the past few years. But yeah, the Ohtani stuff is nuts. I mean, Ohtani like slept at Angel Stadium and like sent all of his money back home to his mom. So I don't really think he's like a mafia guy, like in all this like crazy gambling stuff. But Twitter last night was absolutely hilarious. That was probably one of the funniest sports Twitter days I've ever watched. I was on my phone for like 2 hours just reading through tweets, just laughing. It was so funny. My roommate's a Dodgers fan, so we were just cracking up over and over about this stuff. So I don't really get mad about it. But it was just hilarious. I mean, the stuff. And I don't think he's going to – I think ultimately – he probably won't get suspended. Nothing will happen to him because it seems like he just was trying to bail out his buddy. That's what it seems like happened. But dude, I was just like, what? And I kind of like heard, I was at work and I kind of heard the story and I was like, what's going on here? And then I came back home. I was like, dude, this is crazy. This is so crazy. So that was kind of like just nuts last night. Also the fact that it came in between the two games, and they're showing, it's Ipe, I think is how you say his name. They're showing him and Ohtani in the dugout after the first game. And then it's like, oh, he's fired right after that. And like, they're changing everything. So yeah. So Ohtani's going to get investigated because the money came from his account. He's going to get in trouble probably in some sense, but it doesn't seem like But like, we're going to see what happens. It's not like it was a bet on baseball or anything like that. So once we find more about that, we'll probably do something on it. But I just wanted to get my initial thoughts out on it. Going back to the game, though, biggest storyline, I think, from the overall game is that Yamamoto looked absolutely terrible. He got signed for, was it 325? It was over $300 million. I think it was 325. And he looked awful. He's known as a command guy. He's known as a guy that has really good control and pounds the strike zone. Dude, he could not find the strike zone. It was all over the place. He threw an off speed low. Then he threw it to the right side of the plate. Then the left side of the plate. Then he threw a fastball that would rise and go. It was all over the place. He was missing in every different, like every single thing. And it was just like it was just bad. Padres took advantage of that. And the thing was, this was my biggest thing. Cause if you remember the last, I would say even not just this year, I would say the last few years, one of the Padres' biggest issues has been when they get into a spot like that, where a starter just gets rocked and then they give up five runs in the first inning and you bat around. Tell me if you guys feel the same way, because I think most people will. It's over. The offense is done. No more. All right. You got five runs. Pitching should do the rest. And then you will actually see them not score a run. They have the big inning and that's it. And they only have the big inning and that's nothing. Today was not that. They had consistently had guys on. They had a bunch of different guys, you know, in the lineup getting big time hits. They had Campy, you know, getting big time hits. They had Jackson Merrill. Everyone in the lineup, all the parts of the lineup, the whole lineup was working. And they scored 10 more runs after that first inning. That's amazing. And off of one home run, they only had that Manny Machado bomb. So it wasn't just about Yamamoto in this one. It was the Padres' whole team was, their offense was clicking across the board. Now, they did get bailed out by a certain player. And this guy's probably my least favorite Dodgers player ever. I hate Max Muncy. I don't know what it is. I just don't like Max Muncy. So it was pretty funny. Like, those were like three ground balls where it felt like if you took a guy off the street, like he might make those plays. Like it looked like, or he might look similar to Max Muncy trying to make those plays. So yeah, the Dodgers side, I mean, Yamamoto's a concern. The infield defense is abysmal. They're probably gonna have to make a trade or something. Their lineup is ridiculous, but yeah, it was a good game though from the Padres side. And going to the pitching, let me pull up these numbers real quick. Going to the pitching, I wouldn't be too concerned. One, this Dodgers lineup is just absurd. And I think everyone that was watching felt that, where it's like, all right, you're up five runs, and then you know, bottom of the first comes down, and then you had, it was like two or three guys on. I think the bases got loaded and they score the one. You're like, oh, you get out of that jam. Okay, good. Musgrove was consistently, I mean, Musgrove had allowed seven hits and walked two guys. And 2 2/3, gave up five runs. Then Cosgrove comes in, and I think a couple of those runs came from Cosgrove. Actually, like I think one of them did. He didn't look that good either. He recorded one out. He ended up giving up two hits. Then Michael King comes in. He didn't look good either. He looked all right, and then he left a couple guys on. They ended up scoring. Matsui didn't give up. He didn't give up any earned runs technically on his end, but gave up two hits, and those ended up scoring guys. And those were the guys that Michael King left on. Kolek, he comes in. He didn't look very good. And then Suarez came in, and he also allowed those runs, because those were the guys, Kolek got charged with him, but he had the wild pitch. He spiked one, and then they got a hit, and then they scored two guys, and then it was a one run game after that. He looked good in the ninth, but he had like a five run, or he had a four run cushion. So it wasn't that concerning, but basically everyone today, all of the pitchers across the board, basically every single guy came in and like didn't have a clean inning. So it was really interesting. The defense on not as much on the Padres side, but the defense was just kind of sloppy. You saw the play where Tatis is going to get doubled up on a hit and run. Not like it's his fault. That's just the situation that it's in. And yeah, King did pitch. Michael King pitched three and a third. So I don't know, man. I think it was just like the defense wasn't there. If you remember, like Tatis had that fly, or I forgot who it was. Was it Cronenworth that hit the fly out? Someone hit a fly out. Tatis is going to get doubled up. He comes back. Freddie Freeman's just not covering the base, and they end up scoring. Like, there was a lot of stuff like that. It's still early on. Like, that's the thing. It still feels like spring training, kind of, where things are getting, like, it feels like early season baseball, honestly. So it's going to get better on, like, both sides of that. We had that play. There was a play where this is actually the play that scored the two runs to make it that into a one-run game where, and it was a tough play, don't get me wrong, but Xander Bogaerts makes that diving play. He just kind of misses it. This is a couple months in the season. He might make that play. They might score. He might not throw him out, but he might be able to stop that ball. And it's just like, guys got to get a little comfortable. I mean, we see this every year where it's like, oh, that was a weird play. That was an ugly play. And you see that a lot. So there was a lot of that in this game. But yeah, I think, I don't know, man. I think this was just, it was really fun, dude. It was an awesome game. I was really happy that this one happened. I will say, I wish for baseball side, like just for the MLB fan base and everything, I wish this game would have happened yesterday. So everyone that woke up, because I bet you the numbers were better for yesterday's game. That one was kind of a snooze fest up until the very end of the game. Like nothing really happened. I wish that if people would have woke up like, oh, I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. or 6 a.m. or wherever you are, wake up super early, watch this game. Then they watch that boring game. They're like, okay, I'm not waking up the next day. If they would have woke up yesterday and then saw this game, they would have been like, dude, baseball is awesome. This is a sick sport. They would have been so pumped. So it was awesome. I think, I wouldn't be concerned though about the pitching guys. I think it was just, it's early on. It was a weird thing. People were talking about maybe the balls are juiced. There wasn't enough home runs, but the balls were getting absolutely laced. You never know. I mean, this is a primetime game. We know the MLB likes to do that and juice the balls up, but you had two home runs in this one. Now you also had Fernando hit a ball 117. The balls were just getting like absolutely lit up. So, the exit velos in this game were ridiculous, but maybe that's the case. But it was really sweet to see. Trying to see what else were we looking at here? Muncy's just a bat, yeah. Can we talk about what the hell happened with the Xander violation? I don't know. Like, it looked like he wanted to call timeout. That's what they said, right? He wanted to call timeout. And he's like, I didn't want to call timeout before, and there was still time left on the clock. The violations are like, they're annoying. And this is also, that's also another early season thing. We saw that yesterday. They had four of them from the pitching side. Once, if you remember last year, that's how it was at first too. Like that's how it started. And then a little bit into it, they get comfortable. They remember, okay, this is the routine. It's like a play clock, you know, it's like a play clock or shot clock or whatever. You get used to it and then they're back into it. A lot of those guys, especially like Xander or like Manny or some of these pitchers that have been around a while, Darvish, they're not used to that, dude. They've played 20 years of ball and they've never had to like deal with that. So it's a huge adjustment, especially for like the older vets, opposed to like the guys that have kind of like, you know, you play high school, college, and you go to the minors and like stuff's adjusting. There's a lot of like small adjustments in the game. Like, okay, this is a new rule. This is a new rule. Well, if you've been in the league for a decade, like some of these guys, they haven't changed any rules. Like they've just been used to everything being the same. So I think you're going to see that adjust where like the violations won't really be a problem. Because remember last year, like they weren't really a problem after like the first like couple weeks, maybe month. But I can't remember where it was like a big issue. I think the bigger issue where like when people question the rules is usually pertains to like how home plate's being blocked, because that one is so subjective. That's a rule where it's like, what the hell is happening? But I wouldn't be like, I think that the violations will just stop again because they kind of stopped last year. They just kind of want to implement them and like, okay, this is what we're going to call, this is what we're going to do. And then that happens. Then they're okay. We got it. But yeah, Potters were the better team this series. Take Crone's glove away and we're 2-0. Yeah, dude, Potters look good. And I think the biggest thing is like, you know, you look at this team and you go, okay, you're winning most of that game. You kind of choke it or whatever. The offense isn't there. How do you respond? And this was the thing. Every single game last year, how do you respond? Typically, they would respond with a worse game the next day or a worse choke. That was the whole season last year. So the fact that you come out and you don't have an offensive game and you come back and then you put up 15 runs and everyone basically gets into it, that's exactly what you want. And that's what we want to see from this team. So that was pretty sweet. Both teams did play hard. That's all you got to ask for. Dude, for sure, because the Dodgers stuck around. Like, it wasn't like the game was sus. Like, it was like, oh, God, dude. When it's 12-11, you're like, you're kidding me, dude. This lineup's going to be up, and we've seen what it's done to this Padres pitching staff today. I don't feel comfortable with a one-run lead. I mean, they battled back over and over and over again. So, yeah, both teams did, and that's what made it such a great game. Yeah, I also think that's the case too. At the end of the day, say he did do something crazy, he's not going to get in trouble. There's no way. Is Ha-Sung Kim still the Korean King? Yeah, dude, they love Ha-Sung Kim. Even though he was what, the only starter this series that didn't get a hit for the Padres. Maybe he was feeling the pressure being back home. He wanted to hit one out. He took a couple big hacks. Didn't come up with anything, but yeah. Before the Manny home run, we were for sure going to blow it. Dude, that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, like I've seen this one before. Manny comes up, hits that clutch home run. Also, he demolished that baseball. I'm sure everyone saw how far it went, but it hit next to the scoreboard. That thing was destroyed. But it was fun. High scoring games happened, but something fell off. Yeah, it did feel a little crazy. It was a little bit out there. That's why I said maybe the juice balls. We're not sure on that one, but it was exciting. Yeah, we kept fighting. Yeah, the fact that they kept scoring, and I want to see the box score here. How many innings? Let's see. 5 in the first, 4 in the third, 1 in the fifth, 6th, and 7th, and then the 3-run home run in the 9th. You're scoring 6 innings in a game. That's impressive stuff right there. You're hitting off a bunch of different relievers. And that was the thing. You had 17 hits. You had 23 guys get on base. That's awesome. That's all you can ask for. 23 guys on base. That's over a 500 on base percentage, I want to say. Let's see. 6 walks, 17 hits, 43 at-bats. So it's like, 26 out of 49. That's pretty good numbers. You do that every day? Obviously, you're going to win. But that's what we need to see more of. And I hope this is not the thing where we've seen the Padres do in the past where they have this one explosive game and then they just don't have any offense. But I do think that, it's going to come down to like stuff like runners in scoring position. 10 for 24 in runners in scoring position. I'll check you on that right now. Let's see. Team run. Yep, 10 for 24. Cronenworth, 3 for 3. Campusano, 2 for 4. Where is Bogart? Oh, Bogarts did get out because Bogarts was rocking that 1,000 runners in scoring position. He went 1 for 2. Manny went 1 for 4, but guess what? He hit a 3-run bomb. So it's like a lot of good stuff. One thing I would like to see, I want to see them run a little bit more. I want to see them. And this wasn't necessarily the game. Like Kim had a stolen base and Tatis went on that hit and run. I want to see a little bit more of that. Especially like when it's a catcher like Will Smith, that's not really good defensively and you can run on him pretty good. This team has a lot of speed. I want to see them attack in that way because other teams last year, like you just had some teams a lot of guys had just ridiculous stolen base numbers, and stealing is really back in baseball now, which is awesome. And I think that we're going to hopefully see more of that. Now we'll see if that's kind of how Mike Schilt, how he rocks with like kind of that overly aggressive stuff. Cause the analytics in the past have said like, oh, don't steal. I don't think so. Yeah, Wilson doesn't have a bad arm, but he's just not the best defensive catcher. So you get one in the dirt, like, I don't know. But either way, it's so much easier to steal now where it's like they're not throwing guys out that often. So what else we got here? Plus, they have to cut players to get to a 20-man roster. I didn't see your initial one, but I think it's just they put out a 26-man roster, but Cease wasn't on that list. So they're going to cut one of their pitchers. Don't know who it is. It's going to be one of the relievers. Not sure yet. I know people probably want like Morahone cut. I don't really want them to cut Morahone. I think you need that lefty in the pen. I think they need to use Morahone in a different role. They need to use him in a long relief role or like a piggyback role with Brito or someone. But I think it's just one spot that's gonna go down from Cease. Now, the Korean roster is a little bit different, but I don't know if we even saw any of those guys that weren't on the actual 26 one. Send down Vasquez. Yeah, they could. I mean, There's a bunch of names and it's just going to depend on like whoever they think is the best. Also, we're going to see that change a bunch. You guys know how that is. Like you're going to see them change the roster and then you got some elbow soreness or whatever. This guy's going down into 10-day IL or 15 IL or whatever it is. New guy comes up. So like Vasquez, for instance, right? He goes gets sent down. He might be a backup in 2 weeks. Like that's just how it goes. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Morahone, I don't know if he's out of options. He might be. Merrill is a dog. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, Cronenworth. I talked to him about him a little bit, but Jake Cronenworth. If Jake Cronenworth can, and let's pull up his stats. Let's see how good. Let's see like what we need him to be, because him being the three hitter, he has to be good if the Padres are going to have a successful year. So I want to see. What I mean, not his numbers right now. Like right now, they're probably ridiculous. But he went. What did he go for today? 4 for 4. He went 4 for 4. 4 ribbies. That's ridiculous. Yeah, he's currently hitting 500. Here's the thing. So I'm gonna pull up his Baseball Savant, show you guys some numbers from him, because I think that's gonna be the biggest thing for this team, because he has to hit third right now. If you don't add a Brandon Belt or someone else. He has to be the guy to hit third. So let's look at these numbers, man, because I think this is the biggest thing. Last year, 690 OPS. And this is the thing that I've been concerned about, Jake Cronenworth. This is why, I mean, I have a Cronenworth jersey, but like, still concerning. So this is what scares me, dude. 830 OPS. This is in the 54 games in the short season. 800 OPS. Everyone's like, dude, yeah, Cronenworth is the guy. Then in 22, he was stumping for a lot of the year, kind of up and down, 722 OPS. Not that good. I mean, it wasn't like super bad. He still had 17 bombs. But then last year he came back and he didn't have a full season, but it was just, dude, 690 OPS, 10 bombs. He hit 229. Like, everything has fallen over the past few years, slugging under 400 the last 2 years, OPS under 340, like average under 240. Like, everything has just consistently dropped and dropped and dropped. And I've been concerned that, like, maybe he's starting to get figured out a little bit, because that's another thing with baseball that I feel like people don't realize. It's like, it's so hard to be good for a long time. It's so hard to be good in baseball for a long time. That's why a guy like Manny Machado was so special, because you know what you're going to get out of Manny Machado. So this has always been concerning, where you look at his contract and you're like, dude, this is going to be awful if he falls apart. But to play devil's advocate to all that, these 2 years, there was a big emphasis on him trying to bump these power numbers and really just be a different hitter than he was. Like, strikeout numbers, dude, look at this. It jumped so much this year. And it was so much more about getting that launch angle, doing that stuff. And yeah, that's all good. That's the direction that baseball is going. But that's not what makes Cronenworth a good hitter and has made him a good hitter in the past. It's just not. So I think him going back, and he did add some weight and stuff, so maybe that changes a little bit. But him going back to really, like, using all of the field, and Chase and Isaac talk about this so much. Isaac loves to talk about this because he's like, I love watching Cronenworth at bats, but lately it's not been the same thing, and he looks way different. He just looks different on how his approach is and everything. Him going back to not try to pull everything, and not trying to crank it over right field, I think that's going to do a lot. And I think if we see him do that, we're going to see him just be a better hitter. We don't need crazy power numbers from him. We need this number to go up right here. We need this OPS number to go up. We need his slugging to be over 400. We need him to have quality at bats in that three hole. So I think that's going to be one of, like, the biggest things moving forward, is, like, especially for this year, is how good can Jake Cronenworth be? Because he doesn't have to be crazy. But if Jake Cronenworth gives you a, I don't know, let's say a 110 WRC plus or OPS plus or whatever, that's like a 750, 60 OPS, right? That puts you in such a better spot, because you now have a lefty bat in the middle of the lineup that's a good contact hitter, that's going to sacrifice guys over, that's going to put the ball in play, that's going to give you good at bats right before Manny. It's going to set this team up for success. And it's not even as much about Cronenworth, but it's more about just, like, how the lineup unfolds. So I think that's going to be a huge part of this season. And it was really encouraging to see him come out and go 4-for-4 today. That was awesome. But see a bunch of stuff here. It looks like something on Xander. Xander looked decent. Xander's looked good, man. Defensively, we haven't seen, like, too much from him. I mean, it's still early on and whatever, but the bat's playing. I mean, he looks good early on in the season. He did last year too. He was dealing with an injury last year. So let's see. Let's wait and see. I mean, I've been very, like, super concerned on Xander. Xander and Cronenworth are the two guys you're concerned about, because you sign them to big deals. They're more contact hitters. They had down years, and you're like, dude, what's going to happen? Because we just saw what happened with a contact hitter that kind of fell apart in Eric Hosmer. And everyone just keeps thinking of that, like, oh, dude, these contact hitters, AJ Preller's gone after, like, they haven't looked good. Those two guys, if they're good, like, that lineup's going to be a lot better. And it's also you're going to see them on base a lot more. You're going to get better pitches for the rest of the guys. It all unfolds so much better when you have a couple good contact hitters. So yeah, I mean, Cronenworth needs to be that 280, 18 to 20 home run guy, like he was in 2020, like he was in 21. Even if he's not that, I still think that it'll be okay. Cause 21, he had 21 home runs. He hit 266. So he didn't even hit 280. I mean, like, if he hits, like, a little bit, but he's getting on base a good amount, and he has a little bit of pop, and he's hitting a lot of doubles and stuff, that's still good. Talking about Campy, dude, Campy's awesome. He has one of the weirdest, just stances right now, though. That whole thing is weird. There was a side-by-side I saw of him in his two-strike approach, and it changes a lot. It was pretty cool to see. If you end up finding that video, it's a good one to see. But, I mean, Campy looks really good. I mean, the fact that, Last year, you went into the season with Austin Nola, and he gave you like 100 average and like nothing offensively. And this year, coming with Campy, who just rips the ball. And even yesterday, like he didn't have a hit. He hit one, I think it was to the shortstop. I think it was with the double play, maybe. He just destroyed a baseball. He hits the ball so hard. So having him at the, you know, in the six or seven spot, six, seven, eight spot in the lineup, he's a good hitter, dude. He's a good hitter. I'm so happy that he's starting to come. He's, you know, he's your everyday catcher now. That's huge. So you got him. And also, like, think about the youth movement. You got Campy. You got Merrill. You got Graham Pauley in the lineup. You got a young pitching core, like not core necessarily, but you got a lot of young guys in your pitching staff. There's a lot more youth on this team. And right now, two of your best hitters today were two young guys. It was Campy, and it was Jackson Merrill. That's huge. You know, that's huge, especially like those are cheaper contracts. If the Padres aren't going to be able to have a high payroll post Peter Seidler, like this is how they're going to win. They're going to have to do that. And the other thing is, you just have to do that anyways. All of the good teams have players that come in that are like supplemental players that are good like that. So I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. The people are talking about when Salas comes up, Campy could be a first baseman. Campy could also just DH. I mean, he's a good enough bat to DH. That's the other thing. So maybe he moves to first base. We'll see. We'll see whatever. But yeah, Salas is going to be a little bit. I know everyone's super pumped. He literally got comped as a Bryce Harper caliber prospect, which is insane. So I'm also super pumped for Salas, but it's not going to be like this year. Probably very earliest late next year. And even that is probably pushing it because he is a catcher, but maybe we see him up in like September call-ups or something like that. But yeah, man, I'm pumped about it. Who should play DH when Machado plays third? Brandon Belt. Brandon Belt against righties. But no, for real, I mean, it's just going to be kind of like everyone's going to be rotating in and out of DH at this point because that's why I still want them to add another bat. You add another bat, you have someone good there that can play like first, and then you can move Cronenworth around. It opens up the lineup a lot more. So I do still hope, I mean, even though the offense exploded today, I still do hope that they add something to the lineup because more bats, especially another lefty bat, will be huge for this team down the stretch. Tyler Wade actually looking kind of good. Dude, yeah, he's had some good at bats. He had two hits today, I want to say. Then they took him out. I mean, I think everyone wants to see Graham Pauley and Jose Azucar, or not Jose Azucar, sorry, Eggie Rosario playing that third. But Tyler Wade kind of has won that job, and they're going to keep rocking with him. Kind of reminds you of like Nomar Mazara, right? Like a guy like that comes in and looks pretty good for a while. We'll see what happens to him. But yeah, he's looked good through the first couple games, had some decent at-bats. Not the best fielding third baseman, but we got to keep in mind that we're a little spoiled. We get to watch Manny Machado play the hot corner, so it's like we don't see him make mistakes. So that's the difference. We also just watched Max Muncy have maybe the worst defensive performance I've ever seen in baseball. So so on the flip side, it's like, okay, you're somewhere in the middle of that. But see what else we got here. Is Snell starting in the Giants Padres series? I would assume so. I would be pretty sure he was going to. Maybe he's not ready yet. Okay, well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, you just asked also, how about Wade getting playing time over Pauley? Yeah, I mean, I get why. Like I said, I think I said this yesterday, but I'd rather see Agui and Pauley get reps if you're going like the cheaper route across diamond, and especially because Manny's going to come back and play third base. But if Wade's putting up numbers, I mean, okay, you can't really complain with that. Like, you are just trying to win in the MLB, but you also are also trying to develop these guys too. So, and I mean, they have subbed those guys in mid game. I think they'll continue to do stuff like that. It was interesting to see like how many substitutions and pitching changes and stuff we saw in this series. And I don't think that's going to stay the same. I think that'll slow down a little bit. I think it's more because guys are still getting loose. Guys aren't quite, you know, in mid-season form yet, but maybe that's how Mike Schilt operates. Maybe he has a lot of substitutions, a lot of matchup dependent stuff, which I wouldn't be mad about. I like seeing that stuff, but yeah, I also kind of prefer giving the young guys a shot, even though Tyler Wade's still doing solid. Padres won't sign a full-time DH. Dude, they never really did until last year, and then it did not work at all. So I don't really know if they will either, but maybe if they did, and I'm going to keep bringing him up because he gets brought up all the time, but like Tommy Pham, like he could DH sometimes. I don't know. Also, Campy, I know people don't like having your DH as your catcher, but like, I don't know, dude. I would like to see Campy DH a couple times as well. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at here. People forget that the Padres refused to call up. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. People, when you're talking about Campy, it wasn't because he couldn't hit. He was balling out. It was because he was figuring out as a catcher. And also, he doesn't look that bad defensively. Like, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but is he perfect? No, he doesn't look like he's like that crazy. But with PitchCom coming in, it's a lot easier for like a game calling perspective. And he doesn't look like he's like getting crossed up or anything like that. Like, he looks fine. Like, he looks all right. So he looks like he, and he also, like, that was a big report last year, was that he made drastic improvements defensively. So he's here to stay, man. He's going to be the starting catcher this year. And I'm happy about that. And I'm happy that, even though like a lot of people wanted Gary Sanchez back, I don't think it's the worst thing that they didn't go after him. Like, I think it's not anything against Gary Sanchez, but it's better that we see Campy develop and get more playing time. Higgy will play, you know, he'll be your backup catcher or whatever, but he's not going to be the main guy. Yeah, Snell probably won't be ready. I mean, that's not a big surprise. Azul Carmero and Tatis in the outfield is OP. That's pretty good. Profar's there for the vibes. Profar, the thing about Profar is, like, he's not the best hitter, but he does give you good at-bats. So, yeah. Cody said he went to school with Tyler Wade. That's pretty cool. Held him back in the eighth grade for extra year of development. Dude, a lot of people do that. It seems to do pretty good for a lot of, like, athletes, too, because you get a little bigger, and then you just better naturally because you're a bigger kid then. Yeah. What else we got here, guys? I'll probably take off a little bit. I didn't realize I've been talking for like 40 minutes almost. But I'm just pumped, man. It was a great game. I mean, I woke up this morning and I watched the whole game in my bed. I didn't get up. I just watched it on my phone, but I was extremely tired and I woke up, I'm watching it. I turn it on and there's a guy and Bogarts is on first. I'm like, all right, cool. Bogarts got on. And then I think Tatis gets hit, and then it was just the implosion of the first inning. It's like, oh, let's go. Like, I was super pumped. And then I kind of expected it to not really have that much go on after that. Like, okay, 5-run lead, whatever. Padres offense will probably slow down. Let's just have Musgrove come and settle down. Musgrove doesn't look good either. And then no one really looks good from a pitching perspective on either team. And it's just a battle back and forth, back and forth. That, you know, Padres get a lead, they extend it. Okay, then the Dodgers come back, make it a 1 or 2 run game. Okay, then the Padres get another lead extension. Okay, then they come back, like, over and over and over. It was sweet. It was really fun to watch. I woke up and I almost was like, dude, I'm gonna go back to bed. And I was like, whatever. I'll turn it on if I fall asleep. Whatever. Stayed up the whole time. Maybe I dozed off a little bit, but like I was up for the whole game. So it was fun. Yeah, Muncy is terrible on defense. Profar could DH. I do not want Profar to DH. That is a bad DH. But he probably will once in a while. He's a switch hitter, yeah. So you're going to just see the DH spot rotate unless they sign a guy. That's why I want to sign a guy, because it's a spot where you can get an advantage. Like, you can get such an advantage in your lineup, and the Padres are yet to have like a really good first base DH combo of bats. It goes a long way in your lineup if you have that. So I still really want them to do that. I still really want them to go that route. Am I going to be in San Diego for opening day, Matt? No, I'm not going to be there. I'll be out here. I don't know. Isaac might be. We'll see. ESPN blocked access, so I can only listen to the radio. Dude, you gotta find one of those illegal stream sites, man. That's how I usually watch the games. Yeah, how do they have having a blackout in Korea is just stupid. Because I did see that they had that in San Diego, which is really dumb. What else we got? JD Martinez, that's another option, too. I don't mind that. Yeah. Jackson Merrill looks solid. Biggest takeaway. I think that is. But yeah, guys, I think I'm probably going to take off, get going with my morning. Thank you all for hopping on, though. I think I'll double check. I'll put something up. I think we'll probably go live Sunday night and then get some stuff out. Got baseball next week. Exciting. Got March Madness starting today. We got March Madness in like an hour. Let's go. So yeah, good sports week. I mean, sports are back. The last month has been really boring, man. Post Super Bowl. Also, it's depressing for me because the Niners lost, but post Super Bowl, it gets a little rough for a while. So I'm pumped that, you know, we got some stuff going on. San Diego State plays tomorrow. Then you got the second round this weekend. So yeah, you got college basketball all weekend, and then we got baseball starting on Thursday. It's a good time. Sports are back. I love this like little March turn of like, okay, now we're back in the mix of it. And then it'll slow down in the summer. And then fall time is the best sports time there is. So yeah, I'm excited. But yeah, thank you guys all for hopping on. I will be back. Hit the plus, subscribe if you're not subscribed, do all that stuff. Yeah, we'll be going out. We're also planning to have like a pretty consistent schedule once the season starts, because now we're all kind of bouncing around jobs for a while. Now we're kind of all settled in, which is nice. And so we're kind of making some plans and stuff. But hit subscribe if you're listening. Yeah, appreciate it. I think I said before, but if we hit 3,000 subscribers, I'll give $100 to someone. So half of the people that listen aren't subscribed. So if you guys subscribe, you will hit 3K. But we got like a week, so we'll see if that goes down. But thank you all for listening. See y'all later. Have a great rest of your day. Go Padres. It was an awesome game today. Big time dub. Overall series dub. And I was really happy with how this offense looks specifically. So see y'all soon and have a great one. See y'all.